So one of the biggest problems in churches today is most people who are out of fellowship will walk into church on Sunday morning and basically put on a mask to hide their spiritual condition. They have some sin that they're hiding in their heart that needs to be taken care of, but instead they're pretending everything is fine. And whether you know it or not, that's called playing games with God. I say all that because I want to talk about one of the biggest game players in the Bible. In Judges 16, you find a young man named Samson. Samson's like a really good-looking man. He's probably really buff, I'd imagine. He had like really long hair, and his strength basically came from his hair. And the reason for this is because he was a Nazirite. A Nazirite has three certain rules they have to follow. They can't eat or drink anything of the vine, basically no grapes. They can't cut their hair at all. And they can't touch a dead body or like any carcass. A Nazirite, be keeping these rules, is consecrated to God, which basically means separated for God's use only. In Judges 14, he basically stumbles through a vineyard and he finds a lion. He kills this thing in like one slay, a swipe. But as we go through the story, I'd like to make some observations. The first one is that if he's a Nazirite, why is he in a vineyard in the first place? Like, he literally even shouldn't be there. Some time passes, and he returns to the vineyard where he finds that some bees had, like, built a honeycomb. And as a Nazirite, he's allowed to have the honey, but look where it is. The second observation is that the devil will often offer you something that you want, and you're allowed to have, but the place where he puts it will force you to break your fellowship from God. The devil ends up putting it in the carcass of the dead lion, and Samson ends up eating it, and he touches the dead carcass. Usually we make bad choices because we're not in the right place in the first place. When we hang around unsafe friends, we make way more bad decisions than we are when we're fellowshipping like with the right people, with us. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" After Samson breaks the Nazirite vow, he's required to do four things in order to restore his fellowship and get it right with God. You find this in Numbers 9:14, and the first thing is that he has to shave his head. Second thing, he has to offer a he lamb. The third thing, he must offer a ewe lamb, which is basically a female lamb. And then he must offer a ram. Samson now has a choice to confess his sin and get it forgiven. Instead of feeling bad about it, he just goes on his day like nothing happened. When you sin, you want to make sure that you get it right immediately. If you said something to a friend that maybe hurt their feelings or like just made them feel bad, you'd want to go to them like right then and apologize. That's how it should be with God too. But if you let your unconfessed sin build up and your fellowship remain broken, then you will end up reaping what you've sown, as you've seen in the life of Samson. Samson simply goes about his day without a haircut or an offering. He ends up getting married to this Philistine girl, and after some problems with the Philistines, he burns down their wheat fields. When they find out, they take Samson's wife and her father and burn them to death. Samson still hasn't done anything to get it right with God, and continues not to do anything. He basically puts his own priorities, his own desires, and his own rules over the world, over the Lord, and it continues to get worse and worse for him. When you simply choose to do your own thing, it always ends badly. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." After leaving the two funerals, Samson was probably reminded by God that he needs to make things right. Some time passes, and Samson meets another woman named Delilah. Since Samson likes playing games, he starts playing games with her. The Philistines offer Delilah a lot of money to find out why he's so strong, but Samson kind of mocks her for it. Delilah's main goal is to know what his weakness is. The first thing Samson tells her is that he needs to be bound down with 7 green withes, which is basically a type of cord. After she binds him, he just easily breaks free. The second thing that he tells her is that she needs to bind him with brand new ropes. And when she does, he just breaks through them with like their threads. Then Samson tells her that his hair needs to be weaved with the web of a weaver's loom for him to lose his great strength. Delilah finally wears him down so that he feels vexed unto death. He then tells her the truth and says that his hair is the source of his strength, and if his hair is shaven off, he will be weak as any other man. Delilah shaves off his hair, and the Philistines take him prisoner. The third observation I found is that Samson is bound, his eyes are put out, and that he's forced to grind in the prison house. This is a picture of what sin will do to you in your life. It will bind you, it blinds you, and it grinds you. Blinded, busted, and broken, Samson now regrets playing games with God, especially since the Philistines are taking great pleasure in playing games with him. Someone once said that people change for one of the four reasons. The first one is that people change when they see enough that they are inspired to. Samson saw more without eyes than he did with eyes. People change, the second one, people change when they learn enough that they want to. Yet Samson's stubbornness made him unteachable, basically. The third one is that people change when they receive enough that they are able to. And yet Samson was always one choice away from turning his life back around, but he never did it. And the fourth one is that people change when they hurt enough that they have to. Some people, for whatever reason, only learn lessons of life the hard way. God comes to Samson and talks with him. He said, "You were supposed to offer two burnt offerings. You refuse, and it cost you a wife and a father-in-law. You were required to get a haircut, and you refuse, and it cost you your eyes." Samson says, "I've learned my lesson, Lord. Are we good now?" God said, "You still need to offer a ram." He says, "Where am I going to get that ram?" And God said, "What about you?" So Samson prays unto God to strengthen him one last time and get revenge on the Philistines. God gives him the strength, and Samson grabs the two pillars, one on his right and one on his left, that hold up the building, and he brings them down on the thousands of Philistines in the house. I'm going to close with Jeremiah 8:6. This passage shows four words that God was looking for in Samson, and maybe some of you here tonight, that basically, that he's been playing games with God. Jeremiah 8:6 says, "I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his weakness, saying, what have I done?" The four most important words here mentioned are, "What have I done?" Saying those four words mean you've come to the lowest point in your life, and there's no other way but up. Samson got to that point in his life after playing games with God and playing games with people where he most likely thought those words. He got blinded, forced to go through lots of pain and grinding, and lost all of his strength. He lost these things because he put his own priorities above God. Instead of restoring fellowship with God, he went on like nothing happened. Either you learn your mistakes the hard way or the easy way and fix it right then and there and go right to God, or you go the long and hard way with lots of pain and heartache, all because you put your priorities above God. That's all. Okay, grab your packets. Okay, what a day that will be. Just a few pages to the right of where we were. Pretty much, oh, it is the last page. That'll help. Last page. What a day it'll be. So is Macy.
It's my last page.
Oh, no. No, this is going to be my last one.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah,
that's
what he said.
Oh.
All righty, what a day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
All right, we have a request for one more. Go to Complete in Thee. It's the second page. All righty. Complete in Thee.
Complete in Thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of Thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I am now complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in Thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace has conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in Thee, each one supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since Thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before Thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among Thy chosen will I be, at Thy right hand complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
All righty. Next up, Elena, if you're ready.
Okay, so first we're going to start with a little activity. So if you have a writing utensil, you want to get that out. If not, I have some for you. So all these note cards are going to go around along with the pen container. And basically, what I want you to write is something that you've been labeled as, like in school. For example, you could be labeled as cool or as popular, a class clown, etc. But I also want you to write down what somebody else, what you have labeled someone else. So what you've been labeled as and how you've labeled somebody else. So while those are going around, I'm going to tell you a quick little story. So in school, I go to a private school, and honestly, it probably isn't very different from any other school when it comes to labeling. Kids are still mean, kids are still kids, and labels go around our school like a disease in Africa. Let's just say that. So at my school, I am considered the nerd or the smart kid. Everyone comes to me for homework help or if they have a question. And if I don't live up to that, I feel very pressured. If I mess up in math class by saying the wrong answer to an equation, I get so freaked out. So on those note cards, make sure you're writing those down. And when you're done, you can just bring them up here or to me. And we're going to use those. So with labeling, a lot of the times in school or at work, just in life, we are labeled by so many different things. Labels can be cool, popular, class clown, nerd, or even some as dumb, stupid, idiot, anything. So let's get those written down, please. So basically, okay. And I will move it when we get more situated. So if you're done with those cards, you can hold them up. I'll come get them, or you can bring them up, however you want to do it. But Alex, I can, if those are, let's get those. Okay, is everyone done with their cards? Jared. Please don't throw things at me. Please don't throw things at me. Don't throw things at the speaker, Bryson. Any more cards that were not collected? Okay. So I'm going to shuffle these, and hopefully you didn't write your names on them. If you did, I'm not going to call you out. Okay. But we're just going to go through a couple of these. So one of them, popular and mean. That's a popular one, ironically. Popular and mean. We have try hard and pretty. Labeled as funny, labeling someone else annoying or weird. Different. Labeled as nerd, I can relate. Labeled someone else popular, I can also relate. We'll just do one more. Ben labeled innocent labeled someone else teacher's pet. Okay. So these are all some labels that you wrote down. And all these other cards, don't worry, they will be thrown away after this. So. Oh. Well, then you can find yours. But, so we spend so much time living up to these labels. Popular, probably not mean. Different, innocent, nerd. We all get those labels, and there is honestly so much pressure that comes with those titles. It is almost like your namesake. Elena the Nerd, that is my name. And so, with those labels, we have so much pressure to live up to the labels of the world. Are we really living up to God's labels for us? What does the world think about these labels? I mean, is this positive? Is this what God wants us to be like? No. So, really quick, I need some verse reader volunteers. So if you have your Bibles or the Bible app and you would like to read, please raise your hand or I will be randomly picking people. Alex, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Deuteronomy 14, 1 through 2. Macy, Galatians 3, 26. Anna, Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Anybody else? Addie, Romans 8, 29. Brooke, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And I need one more. Kenzie, James 14, or 4, 14. Okay. So Alex, if you have Romans 12, 1 through 2, would you please read that?
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Thank you. So we're so consumed to have people see us the best or coolest societally. But we really need to be focused more on God's labels. I mean, these labels, it's not going to matter.
Amen.
They're just going to disappear. It doesn't matter. I mean, this is not going into heaven with us.
Amen.
But God's labels are what's going to help us get to eternity. I mean, God's labels are what's going to be what's out there. I mean, our mission is to be more like Christ. And you can't be more like Christ if you're focused on all this.
Amen.
Whoever has Deuteronomy 14, 1 through 2, can you read that, please?
You're the children of the Lord, your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves nor make any boldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth.
So yes, this is for Israel, but this applies to us too. So the verse said, ye shall not cut yourselves nor make any boldness between your eyes for the dead. How many times do we change ourselves because somebody told us we have to? Or because somebody told us that you'd be better like this? I mean, what do they know, honestly? So these people, I mean, in this verse, it literally says not to do what the world says. That's not the goal. The goal is to be those chosen people, the holy people of the Lord, your God. And we're chosen, it says in the verse, the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. That's being different. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be examples. Christ was not like the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. Galatians 3, 26.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus.
There you go. We're all children of God. We're not the world's children. This doesn't matter. This does not apply to us. Well, I mean, it does, but not in this case. Psalms 1, 1 through 3.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
So I want to focus on verse 3 there. So the fruit in that verse is the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the labels that you want to focus on. Those are the labels that you want. And verse 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that is not like the world.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that is like God and not focusing on this. I mean, we're supposed to be separate from the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Whoever has that reference.
I can do it.
Okay. Thank you, Hannah.
Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Those are what we need to be focusing on. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. We're supposed to be living to this. I mean, this literally tells you, hey, focus on this. This is what you need to be showing. And along with that, you know, we shouldn't be focused on what the world labels us, but we can't be labeling other people either. Our goal is to live more like Christ. So Romans 8:29.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, to be more like Christ, fruit of the Spirit. This is not being like Christ. Galatians 5, 22 through 26, that is being more like Christ. In Psalms 1 through 3, the word of God is the opposite of the world. In verse 3, I mean, it's literally, this is all right here. Don't focus on this. We can't be like Christ without doing this. I mean, you can't build on nothing. You can't build on this. This is nothing. This is air. You can't build on air. You have to build. The only way you can build is on these fruits of the Spirit. That's who God was. That's what he showed. That's who you need to show. And honestly, God's labels look a lot prettier than the world's. I mean, nobody's going to want any of this when you can have this.
Amen.
So Matthew 6:19 through 21. Who has that?
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be.
There you go. Lay treasures in heaven. This includes these. I mean, the other, I don't know, labels, those aren't treasures, honestly. They're pretty hurtful most of the time. These are great. I mean, if people see this, they're going to know that you're different. I mean, this is a great testimony. James 4, 14. Whereas ye not know what shall be on the morrow. Right here, are people going to know that you are joyful and that you're a child of God and that you're loving and good and patient? Like, that's what we need to be showing. How is God really seeing us? I mean, are we focusing on these things that he gave us? Are we trying to be like Christ and him? Or are we trying to be like the world? Because that's literally what the Bible's against. Does the world see the characters of God in us? I mean, we pray for our testimonies all the time on Life Group. But this is where it stems from. You can't pray for your testimony and not do this. You can't just be like, oh, I want to pray for my testimony. That's being like God. You can't do that without doing this. We say we really want to pray for it, but are we really wanting that? Are we really willing to risk this? Because we could be those nerds, or we could be popular or cool or whatever. Are we really going to risk that for this? I would hope so. So what I want you to focus on is what perspective are you concerned with fitting? Are you trying to fit the world's image of a perfect person? Or are you trying to fit God's? Because I think I like this one better.
Amen.